Blog Talk Radio.
Alone in a room, it's just me and you. I feel so lost, 'cause I don't know what to do. Now what if I choose the wrong thing to do? I'm so afraid of disappointing you. So I need to talk to you and ask you for your guidance, especially today when my
The Woman at the Well, live on Tribe Family Channel. I am Beverly Black, and I'm the creator of The Woman at the Well on Tribe Family Channel. This season 4 is Confessions of Me Too Moments. That is the subject at hand. That is the subject across the land. And we want to acknowledge Tarana Burke, who is live tonight on the red carpet at the Golden Globe Awards. And her quote about this moment, she says, it is humbling and empowering. And I echo that. I feel very humbled that I would be chosen by my creator to be the Woman at the Well's host on Tribe Family Channel. I feel humbled that I have been trusted by the many people that have come to the well to have this discussion with me. The things that are upon their hearts and minds have not been anything easy to convey. So I want to say thank you to all of our previous guests for coming to the well, for bearing your soul, for being transparent, and for allowing me the moment that brings me here, and that is to have this conversation with you. The Woman at the Well, Confessions of Me Too Moments, tonight, January 7th, 2018, is sponsored by Gumbo for the Soul International, Genius is Common, and Urban Book Editor. This is created specifically for an organization entitled Me and You Too. Now, you may not have known where your road of healing or where that pain began. You may not remember the day it happened. You may not recall the time. You just know how it made you feel. The road to healing is paved with reflection. Your Me Too moment changed everything, but you don't have to feel alone. Come to the well and speak your truth. Share your Me Too moment. Tonight's guest is Cecilia Carey. She is a quintessential African-American mother and longtime human resources professional with a twist. She's a daydreaming, creative, writing survivor. And she is going to tell us about her Me Too moment. This is her confession. She will take us from the beginning. She will take us to the middle. And she will bring us forward to where we are now. And at the conclusion of this show, I will read an introduction entitled The Smoky Mirror. And this comes from our suggested reading, A Practical Guide to Personal Freedom, a Toltec Wisdom book by Don Miguel Ruiz. The title of this book is entitled The Four Agreements. And that is tonight's episode, suggested reading. And so, ladies and gentlemen, thank you again for tuning in to The Woman at the Well, Confessions of Me Too Moments. Please help me welcome Cecilia Carey. Hello, Cecilia. How are you?
I'm fine, Beverly. How are you? Thanks for having me.
I'm blessed. It's an honor. I thank you for having me, for being empowered to come to the well and to evoke something that is both a wellspring in itself. I appreciate that you will go deep and draw from that wellspring to evoke your confession. And so, welcome to Confessions of Me Too Moments. Tell us, what is the beginning?
Well, you know, I'd like to start out by saying, with the Me Too movement, there are different levels to this movement, because there are different levels of trust that we give people and that they're supposed to have earn and keep and hold. Now, you have your Hollywood executives that are being uncovered. You have priests that were uncovered and are being uncovered. You also have family members and children trapped in situations where they may need a voice as well. So, that being said, I grew up in a situation where the people I was supposed to inherently trust, be able to trust, broke that trust in a most egregious way. It's been a long journey, one of a lot of self-reflection, self-healing, a lot of facing my own demons. And so I got to a point in my life where it was time to share, because there's so much pain in our society. Our children are suffering. So just to be heard, just to be able to tell my story is a wonderful opportunity. Somebody out there will hear it and connect, create a bridge to someone else that will hear their story, connect, cross it. They'll create a bridge, on and on and on, similar to the Me Too movement.
Amen, amen. And I received that and believe that Tribe Family Channel was created for the purpose of bridging the gap. And we've lived in that theme. So you are so absolutely right. Your story will be pivotal in that bridge and in that building. There are so many different layers and levels that it is very humbling and empowering to be here on The Woman at the Well, and to know that this is something that will be a part of that thread in the fabric of the history of the Me Too movement. So Confessions of Me Too Moments welcomes you and thanks you for your time and what you're going to be helping our audience with when it comes to your story.
It's important for, it's important that there's a space created, a safe place. Sometimes we find ourselves in situations to where we're forced to tell our truths, and sometimes in a most unpleasant way. And that can be very damaging. If we're provided or give someone a safe place where they can come to uncover their truths, to say what has happened to them, then they feel empowered, not stripped of their power, you know? So.
Amen, indeed. Well, let us know what you would like to tell us about the beginning. And we know that it does take the courage and the strength to be able to walk back down into that journey of your past, because you have to address not only the past, but the pain that is held in that past. And so if you will you allow our listeners and myself to know what your Me Too moment is?
So, as you know, I grew up in East Palo Alto, small town in the Bay Area, predominantly African-American neighborhood. Um, my family was, we grew up in a poor family, my sisters and I, and my grandmother actually was a very church-going, hard-praying woman. She had two daughters, one of which was my mother. My mother was addicted to heroin and didn't provide for her daughters. It was four girls. Didn't provide for her daughters as, you know, a mother should. She began to introduce us to elements of, I want to say, the seedy side of life. She surrounded herself with dope dealers, people who did drugs. That was our family life. When I was 8 years old is when it all began for me, when my life began to change, when that innocence was lost. And a mother's love should be untarnished, everlasting, and unconditional. You should be able to trust your mother more than anyone else other than God himself. You should be able to trust your mother. She's got your back, sister soldier, we ride or die. In my situation, my mother betrayed that trust. Her abuse was extensive, and she allowed other people, the men in her life, to perpetrate that same type of abuse. 1985 is when she died, and I was pregnant with my son. I knew I was in a horrible situation, and because my grandmother made sure that we went to church, grew up in church, Pentecostal Church of God in Christ, I knew that there was something out there. There was something in me that was different. I knew that in spite of my situation, that I was meant to do something. But I didn't know, I didn't have a clue what that was. I also love to read. And I used reading as an escape from my reality. I knew that there was something better out there. I just didn't know where to go or how to get it. I remember the phone call that I made. I was 3 months pregnant with my son. And I said, I cannot. And at the time, living in a horrible situation, I said, I cannot raise my child in the same situation that I grew up in. I will not allow anyone to harm my child. So I remember the day when I called social services and told them about my situation. And in a couple of hours, I had a social worker there. They transported me to a group home in San Francisco called Florence Crittenden. And if anybody's listening and they know about Florence Crittenden, then you know a little something. Florence Crittenden was in San Francisco, and it was a home for unwed mothers. But it was at that point where I began to grow and see things, understand my own power, that I do have say-so over what happens to me. I don't have to let anybody abuse me. I am somebody. Oh, wow. It's been a long journey. It really has.
Wow. Well, thank you for the transparency of, you know, letting our listeners understand what makes you the woman that you are, the strong survivor and writer that you are today. And we know that you have written your story in a book, and we're going to allow you to tell us a little bit about how that story manifested. Tell us about, you know, your book. So bring us up to the middle when you, you know, you talk about having found refuge in a place where unwed mothers can now find themselves, and you begin to grow. Talk about the growing process. How did you grow? Bring us to the middle of your journey in that growth.
Growth entails a lot of self-reflection and a lot of realizing self-truth. When you've been abused, suffered a traumatic event, you develop, oh gosh, for lack of a better word, you develop defenses. Mental health professionals, they give it names: post-traumatic stress disorder, anxiety, and all the mental health issues that evolve from surviving such a traumatic event, especially over an extended period of time. I had to understand drove me to make the decisions that I would make. I had to understand where that fear and that anger and that anxiety was coming from. I had a son. I had somebody to take care of, and he was my focus. And it was my goal to raise my son and give him the life that I didn't have. Give, you know, make sure he's raised in an environment where he would grow and establish trust and know what that is. So Florence Crittenden actually provided all the social workers, the mental health professionals that I needed to give me a key. They gave me a key to that. My eyes were opened. I'm like, well, this is coming from me. I'm making these decisions. Because I was sexually abused by my mother and the men in her life for so long, it created a shell around me, around my heart, around my feelings, and I would not let anyone in. And I was full of anger. I was full of hatred, but being quiet and shy, it just bubbled on the inside, and I didn't know how to let it out. Florence Crittenden provided that key and that outlet for me to begin to understand and self-reflect and heal. So by the time I left Florence Crittenden, I had made so many friends, lifelong friends. And by the time I left, I was at a point in my life to where I was able to be responsible for my actions because I understood why, how, you know, I understood all the hows and the whys. So I was able to become responsible, you know, for my decisions and my actions and for my son, which of whom I'm so proud of now. He's well, I guess we'll talk about that a little bit later, but he turned out okay. He grew up with me going through the struggle, the madness, the self-reflection, the evolving, and he turned out okay. Yeah.
Well, praise God, praise God. And we have to thank God that you turned out okay as well. You know,
oh, yes. Thank God.
Thank God, thank God. Just to remind our listeners, you are tuned in to The Woman at the Well live on Tribe Family Channel. I'm the host, Beverly Black, and I am speaking with Cecilia Carey. This episode is called Confessions of Me Too Moments. It is season 4 of The Woman at the Well, and this will be the subject. As you know, the layout of the land is addressing the Me Too movement, and this is our way of addressing with Confessions of Me Too Moments. We will later have information about a anthology coming from Gumbo for the Soul International, and it will be also addressing Me Too moments, confessions of Me Too moments. So let me ask you, Cecilia, you wrote your book, Everyone Has a Story to Tell, and it is my belief that as a publisher, you know, there's a certain amount of trust when it comes to telling your story and who you can trust to tell yours. So I want to congratulate you for telling your story and publishing your book. And tell us the name of your book and what led you to write your book.
Well, the name of my book is Dee Dee's Bridge, The Beginning. The main driving factor behind writing Dee Dee's Bridge was that I didn't want to leave this earth without somebody knowing our story. I wanted there to be a record, you know, this happened to us and we survived. Not only survived, but we thrived. You know, we created out of sadness and despair and hopelessness a legacy, you know, for our children. We broke that cycle, and I just wanted people to know that even if you can be in your darkest moment, you know, you could be in that darkest moment for years, you know, if you hold on, it gets better. It gets better. Just hold on and have faith and have hope. It gets better, and you don't have to repeat the cycle. You don't have to continue it. You have a choice, and you can make that choice to break that cycle. And if you have children, you have a choice to raise your children differently. You know, it's a choice. It's a lot of healing, a lot of self-reflection, a lot of self-truth. But once you get through that, you'll be okay. So that was the driving force behind Dee Dee's Bridge, to let people know, and for myself to realize that we are not alone. This Me Too movement proves that. It's a systemic, worldwide, horrible issue. It happens. And once people start uncovering, you know, and uncovering the predators, putting them out on Front Street, you know, then maybe change somebody's mind. Maybe that one person or that one child can be saved. You know, it's all about information, knowledge, putting it out there so people know, look, this isn't a fairy tale. This isn't something that's done in corners and dungeons in the middle of nowhere. This happens to your neighbor, family members, coworkers, your children's schoolmates. It happens, but uncovering it and acknowledging it is the key.
Indeed. Peeling back that onion and exposing what's behind each layer of intent, so that others can identify if they're seeing it play out in their lives, the subtleties of abuse, and the abuse is in many forms, emotional, physical, psychological, verbal, and so we recognize that in our own confessions of Me Too moments, we all have experienced some sort of abuse in our lives. If we haven't, we have lived a perfect conflict-free life of being, having another human being's emotional baggage invoked and inflicted upon us. And so I would beg our listeners and anyone that is within earshot of the Me Too movement to give some self-reflection, like you were saying, Cecilia. And I myself did more reflecting to draw upon where is my Me Too moment. And I thought that I didn't have a Me Too moment for a minute.
Really?
I thought I didn't have a Me Too moment. And upon further reflection, you know, I've had several Me Too moments. They weren't, they were in relationships, the verbal abuse, the psychological abuse, the emotional abuse. That's worse sometimes than the physical abuse, because you're yielding control over your mind, independent of anyone else's, has its own thought process. And when someone wants you to yield that over to them so that they can control your life, your actions, your movement, and your thoughts, that is a mind effery that can sometimes be hard to penetrate, because that person believes what they believe. And when people take control of a person mentally, it is so that they can heighten that person's belief in what they're telling them over what that person knows to be right and real in their own minds and lives. So I would like to know, bring us up to where you are now, having told us the beginning and touched upon your journey. Bring us up to where you are now in terms of your healing and where the forgiveness lies, if you have reached that point. Not everyone has reached the point of forgiveness. Some may not. But share with us where you are now and if you have, in fact, reached upon a point of forgiveness.
Beverly, I've actually been fortunate enough to have some very positive people in my life as an adult. My husband, my first husband, was a very positive force and a stabilizing force for me and my son. And it actually gave me the room to grow because I was in a safe place. It's important to not bring people along with your self-reflection and your self-healing, but it's important to establish your base. It's important to establish that support, because none of us can do it alone, you know, and your support could look like anything, anybody, even a puppy, a kitten you hold on to and talk to, you know, church, class, whatever it is where you draw your strength and your quiet and your comfort from, that's a support base. So it's really important to get that established. It's also, for me, it was really hard to trust my abilities, to trust that I am who I am, and to, I can fall, I can make mistakes, but I can also get back up and keep going. It was important. There was one issue that took me years to get over. And for a long time, I could not hug my son. For many years, it felt extremely uncomfortable for me. I knew why, but I was powerless to do anything about it until, I'm thinking maybe 3 or 4 years ago, I looked at my son. He's a grown man now, 30 years old, has a family of his own, married. I've got two grandsons. He has a successful career. My son is the product of that abuse. So when I looked at him, I saw that person. And so I knew that that was the reason why it was so hard for me to hug my son. He never wanted for anything. He knew I loved him unconditionally. I needed to cross over that bridge. I needed to be able to hold him and just hold him. And I was able to do that just by letting go and trusting. I'm not going to hurt my children. I am okay. And that's when the real healing began. And this was just 2-3 years ago. So it happens. You just got to keep picking at it. You got to be aware that it's there. You know, you've got to know that these are my demons, you know, and I've got to sometimes go pick them up and kick them around sometime. And when I'm done kicking them around, I'll put them back in a box and come back to them later. But they're there, and we have to eventually face them to be able to move on.
Well, I definitely commend you for your courage, for your journey, and how you have mastered the strength that you need to take each step for what it is worth, for what you're going to gain from it or lose from it, but you continue going forward through it. Like you said, facing the demons, knowing they're there, knowing they exist, not ignoring anything about your own personal struggle, is what allows you to view it as it is and to realize what it's going to take to overcome that. So I do want to commend you for being able to hold your son, to be a phenomenal mother and parent, to bring your children to a point where they are now successful in their lives, and to be able to come to that point where you realize your son was just as innocent as you were at that moment. Where your Me Too moment arrived, just as innocent. So We want to, again, thank you for being here with me and being transparent about your journey and your story here on The Woman at the Well, Confessions of Me Too Moments. This is season 4, but this is the inaugural show for dealing with Me Too moments, and we're going to be on every other Sunday through June, and we will also have a healing party in Jamaica at the Dream Castle in the middle of June. So we're going to keep all of our listeners and our guests informed. We're looking at June 10th through the 16th in Jamaica for our healing party, our release party, and for the culmination of dealing with Me Too moments. Gumbo for the Soul International, Gumbo for the Soul Publications will be releasing a special call for submissions for Confessions of Me Too Moments, an anthology that is due out June 24th, 2018. And we encourage our listeners to connect with me on Twitter via @GumboForTheSoul, and you will be able to link to our Twitter page, The Woman at the Well, and Tribe Family Channel from there. And we're also on Facebook and LinkedIn and Googleable, so you can also find us at GumbleForTheSoulInternational.com. Now, I want to ask you to let our listeners know, again, the title of your book and where can they pick up your book?
Dee Dee's Bridge, The Beginning, is available on Amazon in Kindle form or print form. So if you're interested, if you want to go on a journey of healing and self-reflection, and come on, come with me. Let's go together.
Well, there you go. And we are definitely on the road with you, together with you. So I'll be looking forward to getting my copy of your book. I want to thank you once again for being my first guest on season 4, Confessions of Me Too Moments on The Woman at the Well. And I'm going to definitely be looking out for you online. I want you to hold for us. We're going to have the rest of this segment to delve into what I talked about at the beginning, which is a recommended read that I want people to take on their journey. It's A Practical Guide to Personal Freedom, a Toltec Wisdom book by Don Miguel Ruiz, and it is entitled The Four Agreements. And we will be back on January 21st. My guest will be Denise Higgins, and Confessions of Me Too Moments will continue. Again, I want to shout out to Tarana Burke, the founder of the Me Too movement. I am the creator of Confessions of Me Too Moments, and so I take my crown off to Tarana Burke for being the first one, a sister, to acknowledge the Me Too movement. And I want to encourage everyone to find her on Twitter and Facebook as well. Cecilia, I'm going to be looking for you on Twitter. We're connected on LinkedIn, and definitely we'll be looking for your book on Amazon. And do you have any final thoughts for our listeners as to just whatever you'd like to leave them with, any tools to assist them in their journey that you learned upon your journey?
That's a huge, that's a big question, Beverly. That's a huge opportunity. If you've experienced trauma, if you've suffered through abuse, the first thing that we need to do is to let go of the guilt and the shame. Recognize it for what it is and take away its power. Once we do that, then we can move forward. We can make the first step towards mending and healing and forgiving. It's scary, and it's going to be a rocky road, but you can do it.
Well, amen to that, and thank you so much again. And I'm going to ask you to hold and listen to the introduction from The Four Agreements. It is entitled The Smoky Mirror. And thank you again for being on The Woman at the Well, Confessions of Me Too Moments. God bless.
God bless. Thanks for having me.
It's my honor. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this suggested reading, I almost want to say required reading, because it's been in my mind for a couple of months, knowing that we were coming to this moment, and I didn't want to leave our listeners or our participants without something that allowed them to take it further. What do you do after confessing your Me Too moment? What next? And I wanted to offer some suggestions to piggyback off of the ones that we will be getting from our listeners. So my suggestion is to delve into A Practical Guide to Personal Freedom, entitled The Four Agreements by Don Miguel Ruiz. The Four Agreements: be impeccable with your word. Speak with integrity. Say only what you mean. Avoid using the word to speak against yourself or to gossip about others. Use the power of your word in the direction of truth and love. Be impeccable with your word. Agreement 2, don't take anything personally. Nothing others do is because of you. What others say and do is a projection of their own reality, their own dream. When you are immune to the opinions and actions of others, you won't be the victim of needless suffering. Do not take anything personally. Agreement number 3, don't make assumptions. Find the courage to ask questions and to express what you really want. Communicate with others as clearly as you can to avoid misunderstandings, sadness, and drama. With just one agreement, you can completely transform your life. Don't make assumptions. Agreement 4, always do your best. Your best is going to change from moment to moment. It will be different when you are healthy as opposed to sick. Under any circumstance, simply do your best and you will avoid self-judgment, self-abuse, and regret. And the introduction to the Four Agreements is entitled The Smoky Mirror. 3,000 years ago, there was a human just like you and me who lived near a city surrounded by mountains. The human was studying to become a medicine man to learn the knowledge of his ancestors, but he didn't completely agree with everything he was learning. In his heart, he felt there must be something more. One day, as he slept in a cave, he dreamed that he saw his own body sleeping. He came out of the cave on the night of a new moon. The sky was clear, and he could see millions of stars. Then something happened inside of him that transformed his life forever. He looked at his hands, he felt his body, and he heard his own voice say, "I am made of light. I am made of stars." He looked at the stars again, and he realized that it's not the stars that create light, but rather light that creates the stars. "Everything is made of light," he said, "and the space in between isn't empty." And he knew that everything that exists was one living being and that light is the messenger of life because it is alive and contains all information. Then he realized that although he was made of stars, he was not those stars. "I am in between the stars," he thought. So he called the stars Tonal and the light between the stars Nagel. And he knew that he was created, and he knew that what created the harmony and space between the two is life or intent. Without life, the Tonal and the Nagel could not exist. Life is the force of the absolute, the supreme, the creator who creates everything. This is what he discovered. Everything in existence is a manifestation of the one living being we call God. Everything is God. And he came to the conclusion that human perception is merely light perceiving light. He also saw that matter is a mirror. Everything is a mirror that reflects light and creates images of light. And the world of illusion, the dream, is just like smoke, which doesn't allow us to see what we really are. The real us is pure love, pure light, he said. This realization changed his life. Once he knew what he really was, he looked around at other humans and the rest of nature, and he was amazed at what he saw. He saw himself in everything, in every human, in every animal, in every tree, in water, in the rain, in the clouds, in the earth. And he saw that life mixed the tonal and the nagual in different ways to create billions of manifestations of life. In those few moments, he comprehended everything. He was very excited, and his heart was filled with peace. He could hardly wait to tell his people what he had discovered, but there were no words to explain it. He tried to tell others, but they could not understand. They could see that he had changed, that something beautiful was radiating from his eyes and his voice. They noticed that he no longer had judgment about anything or anyone. He was no longer like anyone else. He could understand everyone very well, but no one could understand him. They believed that he was an incarnation of God, and he smiled when he heard this and said, "It is true, I am God, but you are also God. We are the same, you and I. We are images of light. We are God." But still, the people didn't understand him. He had discovered that he was a mirror for the rest of the people, a mirror in which he could see himself. "Everyone is a mirror," he said. He saw himself in everyone, but nobody saw himself. He saw himself in everyone, but nobody saw him as themselves. He realized that everyone was dreaming, but without awareness, without knowing what they really are. They couldn't see him as themselves because there was a wall of fog or smoke between the mirrors. And that wall of fog was made by the interpretation of images of light, the dream of humans. I'm going to repeat that. And that wall of fog was made by the interpretation of images of light, the dream of humans. Then he knew that he would soon forget all that he had learned. He wanted to remember all the visions he had had, so he decided to call himself the Smoky Mirror, so that he would always know that matter is a mirror and the smoke in between is what keeps us from knowing what we are. He said, "I am the Smoky Mirror because I am looking at myself in all of you, but you don't recognize each other because of the smoke in between us. The smoke is the dream, and the mirror is you, the dreamer. And I am Beverly Black, the woman at the well." It has been my honor, privilege, and pleasure, and I want to thank you for listening.
I feel so lost, 'cause I don't know what to do. Now what if I choose the wrong thing to do? I'm so afraid of disappointing you. So I need to talk to you and ask.